This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Now, stop humming, it's everything to change. That warp tool make you open your brain. Eric Vanek is here, so remember the name. Hey. He got the waiver wire for the week. Tell you who to start and who to give a seat. Dropping the podcast every week. You know the knowledge is elite. After the show, we gon' hold a Lombardi. Celebrating like we throwing a party. This the blueprint and I know they gon' copy. Stop humming, intros always. Cause this is America's game.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome into America's Game, episode number 114. I am your host, Eric Vanek, and you can find me on X at Eric Vanek NFL, and you can follow the show at America's Game Pod as well. And this week, I am joined by a first-time guest on the show. He's one of the new hosts of one of the new podcasts here on the stream, The Fantasy Pipeline, going over all the college prospects for you, my man Dan. Dan, what's going on, buddy?
What's up, Eric, man? Thanks for having me on tonight.
Yeah, man. I was on Fantasy Pipeline with you a couple weeks ago when Mike was sick or had work or one of the two. He's had both. But that was a lot of fun doing that with you, man. So, yeah, I was like, man, we got to get you on America's Game as well. And I think we got a good topic for this week, kind of talk about some of the prospects, our top fives at each position so far and go through that. So I'm excited.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. And honestly, I listen to most of my stuff online on podcast version, so it's the first time seeing your intro, bro. That thing is dope. That's legit. So yeah.
Adam made that video, and and Fizz did the song. Yeah, I wish it was more. We could get it back on YouTube to get all that out there so people can see that. But it's a really cool video. I'm proud of it.
Yeah, that's really cool. That was legit.
Yeah. Before we get into some of the college prospects and stuff, I kind of just want to go over some of the stuff that happened this week in NFL world. We had two major injuries again. Malik Nabers torn ACL. I know, as a Giants fan, that sucks. And Tyreek Hill, Tyreek Hill's was pretty brutal too. He's probably going to be out, definitely out this year, maybe even out most next year too, it looks like. So two brutal injuries. What are kind of your first thoughts on both of those?
The Nabers one, man, I just turned my TV off. I was so mad being a Giants fan. We have a rookie quarterback. He came out and got the dub, so that was cool. But it really was even hard to celebrate the win. We losing Nabers is just heartbreaking for us. Like, we can't catch a break, man. It just sucks. This sucks. It would have been really cool to see like him grow with Nabers. We got Scatterboo going off, so it's like, dude, we got three young core pieces, and then just losing the superstar is just devastating.
Yeah, definitely. You know, people give Joe Shane a lot of shit for the Barkley stuff and all that, man. That dude's been on it with the last 2 years, especially with drafting at least offensive guys, man. Like, last year was obviously Nabers was like a no doubt pick, but then he hit on Tyrone Tracy. He's injured right now, but he was pretty good for a rookie fifth round pick.
Running back for sure.
Right. And Theo Johnson's a pretty solid tight end that they play 80% of the time. And then this year, here we go again. We got Jackson Dart, who they traded up for, and it seems like he's the right guy. Scadabo they took in the fourth round, and he's been doing great. So, you know, kudos to Joe Shane and what he's done with that team. But, yeah, it sucks not having Neighbors for the rest of the season. But I think it's going to allow Dart to, like, you know, get his feet settled in there. You know, he's going to have Wandale and Slayton. Like, it's not going to be the greatest, but, you know, he's going to have to work through some things. And then when he gets Neighbors, where he's more used to the offense and picks it up, I think he's going to be doing pretty good. And the defense is legit, man. Like, they got a lot of talent. Yeah, that D-line is solid.
It's disgusting.
Yeah. I'm kind of hoping, like, with at least Dart in there, they at least can get to, like, 7-10, you know, 8-9, something like that. So, like, where they're like, okay, we're, you know, let's keep Shane around, let's keep Dable around and keep this thing going. So that's kind of what if I was a Giants fan, that's what I'd be hoping for. Cause it's not like they're terrible coach or anything like that. It's just, they've had just a lot of things just go wrong.
Yeah. I'm up and down about that. Cause like, I didn't think it was Dable's fault since we've been losing, but I don't know. The more he's been around, the more I'm like, eh. Like, I don't love him. I don't hate him. It's just, I don't know. He's frustrating. Like, he hasn't really had a quarterback, but at the same time, he's not really elevating. You know what I mean? So it's
right.
It's tough. So yeah. He did that one year. But look at Dimes now. I mean, Dimes was about to get him fired, not even beat on the team. He's balling out in Indy. So it's like,
yeah, that's true too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how he progresses Dart throughout the rest of the season. It seems like they're going to do a lot of RPO type stuff with Dart, which is fine, but as long as he, you know, isn't trying to be Cam Scadabo and run people over and stuff and get injured. So hopefully
we avoid that. Cam is different. That is a
different human being. He just seeks contact.
Yeah,
he's not as there's a guy that we'll talk about later in my list that kind of does the same thing, but not to the degree that Scadabo does. But these guys that just seek contact is pretty crazy. But yeah, sucks at Neighbors. We're not going to have him the rest of the year. I think in Dynasty, that's definitely somebody if I'm completely out of it, I want to acquire, man. I want to get as much Neighbors as I can. If you're still in it, I hate trading away a guy like that, but if you can get, I think, two solid pieces that could help you the rest of the year, like, you know, someone in our chat got like Drake London and a running back for him, and I'm like, yeah, I'll do that all day. Like, you know, Drake London and Neighbors aren't that far apart, so if you can get a receiver that's not that far off of what Neighbors was giving you weekly, then I think that's probably a good bet that you could probably move them and be okay.
Yeah, I don't hate that as well. Being a Giants fan, it's almost impossible for me to move him. Right. I'm just so attached, but I get it. I understand moving and getting a usable piece plus more, and then just trying to buy production now. So I mean, I get both sides.
Yeah, I actually bought a Neighbors on a team where I'm like 0-8. I gave away AJ Brown and Worthy.
Oh wow! Yeah. I like that.
So I was happy with that. Like I like Worthy a lot. AJ Brown's getting almost a 29. I'm tired of these 2-for-8 fucking games from AJ Brown. Let somebody else deal with it. And I'll just take my, I'm not going to make it this season. I'll just deal with, you know, healthy Neighbors next year. So that's kind of where I was at with it.
I get it. That makes sense to me.
Smart. And then, with Tyreek Hill, man, it sounds like he's definitely missing the rest of the season. Might miss a lot of next season. It's, a pretty bad injury. Like the only one I can remember it close to being is kind of like Teddy Bridgewater when he was in Minnesota. Like, I don't remember if he dislocated his knee, but I know he like tore a bunch of ligaments. Sounds like Tyreek Hill kind of did the same, tore a couple ligaments, dislocated the knee and all that. Like it just wasn't a pretty sight. What are you doing with Tyreek Hill in any of your leagues? I've seen him. I mean, I've personally sold him for like a fourth round pick. It's probably done for him.
I didn't see the injury. I was driving all day Monday. Okay. Yeah. And then I just kind of, zombie crashed right afterwards. So I really haven't seen the video, but just looking at all the reports and seeing everything, it doesn't look like it was good.
Your leg's not supposed to bend that way.
That's no, sure. And then what is he, 31 now?
Yeah, 31, yep.
Yeah, dude, it's like 32, and he was already kind of falling off anyways.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
He was looking pretty good this year, like a lot better than he was last year. Still quick as hell and everything, but you got to think this is going to affect him. Like, I don't think I think he definitely comes back and plays at some point in his career. Mm-hmm. But I have read that this could just be a career-ending injury too. So I hope that's not the case for his sake, with like 77 kids, but he's gonna need that paycheck. Somebody that I traded him. Like I said, I traded him for a fourth straight up. I traded somebody offered me Keandre Lambert Smith. I traded him for that. So like, I'm almost like, I'll take anything at this point. Like 2027 fourth is what I kind of was like shooting for. If I can get that, or at least a younger prospect like Lambert Smith, somebody that could maybe become something, I'll take it for Tyreek Hill and just kind of be done with it.
I'm with you. I'd probably take literally almost anything.
Yeah, so that's kind of where we're at with Neighbors and with Tyreek Hill on that one. So let's go ahead and get into today's topic. So with Dan being on, and he does a lot of the college cut-ups that we do in the Discord chat during draft season when we look through the prospects all together. And I wanted to bring Dan on for this because it's kind of like it's a little past the halfway or the quarter point of the college football season. And a lot of trades are going down right now in our dynasty leagues, especially for like 2026 picks. So I kind of wanted to give the listeners a look at, man, who's the top five quarterbacks right now? Who's the top five running backs, receivers? And we did the top three tight ends for this class coming up, and to kind of give the listeners a look at, oh, okay, this guy could be in my draft class. Like, do I want to hold on to my 2026 picks? Do I want to trade some of these picks? So we're going to kind of go over that. This class overall so far is not like the greatest. I think it's okay. Like, I think the first round should be okay, but after that, I'm kind of a little wishy-washy on it, and where I could be okay trading all my seconds and thirds and fourths for 2026 is kind of where I've sat. Do you kind of feel the same about this class?
I feel pretty much the same.
Okay. So yeah, we'll go over that here. We'll start at the quarterback position at our top five. Who do you have as your number one quarterback in this class? Who could potentially come out? So I did give Dan a little heads up. Like, I don't think Arch is coming out or anything like that. But I did tell him, hey, I think there's a chance Dante Moore comes out, Sellers comes out, a couple of these other guys too. So those guys could be on our list. But go ahead. Who is your first quarterback for this class that you like?
So my favorite quarterback so far this year is Sam Leavitt. I think Mike and I fell in love with him last year in the college football playoffs. I feel like he's Baker 2.0. I'm like, this dude, he's like a dude, he's a dog out there, man. He's balling, he's running, he's throwing. He started a little slow this year, but he's been looking sharp. I really hope the NFL loves this dude as much as I do, because I'm a huge fan of his. I think he's my number one. And again, it's hard right now because like we don't know who's actually declaring and draft capital. So obviously that'll potentially change, and then we're gonna look at stuff not only draft capital but like fantasy upside. So Sam Leavitt, he's got some wheels, so he's not like a zero in the run game, and I think he's probably as of right now the best quarterback. So Sellers, we're about to talk about probably in a minute. I think he probably has more fantasy upside. So there, if he can get good draft capital, whatever. If he's coming out as well, I honestly think he should come back another year. But if he does, like I wouldn't blame anybody trying to shoot for crazy upside there. So it's kind of a toss-up between those two guys based off fantasy. But I do think as of right now, Leavitt is the better actual quarterback.
Okay. That's interesting because I don't even have Leavitt in my top five. So
really? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I do like him, but I just think he's a little inconsistent for me right now. So like some of these other guys, I like a little bit more consistency wise. I do think Leavitt would come back, though. I think that's probably the right choice for him. So that's maybe another reason why I didn't put him in my top five. But definitely a really good quarterback. I just think he probably needs another season of starting. And I'm kind of curious with, you know, like the Bo Nixes and the Dylan Gabriels and some of these guys that have had success. Jaden Daniels, another one that just have a ton of starts. Like if quarterbacks kind of think, hey, I need to just stay my 3 years, 4 years, get a bunch of starts and then come out. And I wonder if that's going to be a new trend, because you've seen these guys with these Mitch Trubisky's and Anthony Richardson's that come out with like 12 starts and it just hasn't worked out.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So my guy kind of fits into that category, though. He has, I think, I don't know, 18 starts or so, and that's Dante Moore from Oregon. Kind of watched him this past week in a big game.
Does against, he really have that many?
I think, well, because he started at UCLA.
Yeah, I don't remember how many games he had.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Yeah, it might be less than that, to be honest with you. I thought it was around there, but... Okay. And then... Yeah, so anyways, with Penn State last week, man, I just watching him, and then a lot of these other games, he just has the total package for me, like the arm... accuracy, pinpoint accuracy, which I absolutely love, does have the scrambling ability to pick up some yards. I don't think he's like Lenore Sellers or Lamar Jackson or any of these types of guys, but I think I kind of compared him to like, you know, not to do the same helmet thing, but he kind of reminds me of like Justin Herbert kind of scrambling ability where he can do it and get you, you know, 25, 30 yards in any given game. But he doesn't need to do it. I think his arm is just really good, man. I loved his accuracy, ball placement, and all that. And he was just cool and calm under pressure in a very hostile environment. His first time, like, in a big-time, prime-time game, hostile environment in Penn State, the whiteout game, all that stuff, loud crowd noise. And he was just cool as a cucumber, man. He led them down the field, got them to win in overtime and everything. He was super impressive to me. So that's who I have as my quarterback one in this class right now. And I think if things keep going the way they're going, and he's got probably one of the best coaches in the game right now, one of the best quarterback coaches, and Will Stein and Dan Lanning, those guys have been doing really good. So I think, you know, he keeps this up, man. Like, it wouldn't shock me if we're saying Dante Moore wins the Heisman at the end of the year. Like, I think he could go on that kind of trajectory. So that's who I have as my quarterback one in this class. And then you said number two, you had probably Sellers, right?
Not necessarily. So we'll fast about Dante Moore. Like,
sure,
I thought he looked really good as well. In this past, especially this past game, which was a huge game. All that pressure, your whiteout game, like you said, like that's a big time environment when you're stepping up, and like you said, limited starts, and he went into there and looked decent, like pretty damn good. So that's impressive. My thing is, I agree. I saw all that. I just don't know how, because like you said, he hasn't had many starts. So how is the NFL going to look at him like that? Mm-hmm. I mean, he's got a lot of season left, so it could go good, it could go bad. I don't know where that's going to go, and with the limited starts, we don't know. I mean, Oregon is a powerhouse too, so it's like,
yeah,
he's playing a lot of games where like they're the better team, so you know, so it's
interesting. One of my one of my things with that too is I think there's a possibility like the committee comes back to him, or these mock drafts that start coming out, and he's like a top five pick, and that's going to be hard for him to pass up. Like, I'm already a top five pick. Everyone's telling me I'm a top five pick. Like, let's just come out now and I can go and do it. But like, if he wanted to stay another year under Lanning and Stein and all that, like if somebody doesn't pick up Stein in the offseason as a head coach, like he should be set up to have another fantastic season at Oregon. So it wouldn't shock me if he came out, but I think I'm like 55-45 he comes out.
I'm with you. I think a lot of his thing is going to be how the season goes. So yeah, if he has a great season, and then college football playoffs are going to be humongous for him. If he balls out, they potentially win it all. Like you said, there's a really strong chance he comes out, like straight up. Just why even come back? But if it's okay and he does okay in the college football playoffs, maybe they lose, he might come back. And honestly, it probably wouldn't be a bad thing for him to have a whole other year.
No.
And also, too, it really depends on how, even if he does come out, how is he looked at like in the first round? Is he going to be a top five, three pick, or is he going to be a top 20 pick? You know what I mean? So if he stays another year, even if he is a first round pick, but he's only top 20. If he stays another year and just dominates, he could be the number one. You know what I mean? So it's like I don't know. I don't know what his plan is. I don't know how he's going to be looked at. And it's really going to depend on the rest of his season. He's looked great, like you said. I just don't know which way it's going to go and what he's going to do.
So. I think another interesting thing, too, to think about is a lot of these guys, if they don't come out this year, then for next year, I'm not saying these guys are going to be up there, but you're going to have the conversation of Arch Manning and DJ Lagway, if he hopefully he improves, and Julian Sayin, who has been fantastic. Those guys could be up there for next year, to where, you know, maybe all three of those guys are better than Dante Moore next year, and Dante Moore is quarterback four. So I think, you know, these guys are going to have to kind of weigh that too. Like, man, I could be the number one overall pick here, or do I come back next year? I might be the fourth quarterback. So we'll see how that goes too.
That is true. Or he could just ball out and be the number one next year. I mean, you never know.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
There's a lot of question marks, a lot of those guys as well. So
yeah.
Don't know.
Who do you got as your quarterback too?
It's either probably Nuss. I'm kind of torn. Nuss, maybe even Beck. I'm in between the two.
Okay.
I think they both have shown a lot this year, like that they, I mean, not really Nuss. I mean, Nuss has been okay. I feel like he showed a lot last year, and he's kind of been okay this year. But I mean, he can throw it. He can hit all the levels. He's doing really good. I just think that team is just, their O line has been so bad because they lost their two tackles this past year. They went to the NFL.
Yep.
And this past game, man, versus who was it? Ole Miss. Ole Miss figured out that they can rush three people and still provide pressure. So, man, was that bad when they figured that out for Nuss. It was like they were like sitting back with eight and just saying, "Have fun, dude." They were just coming at him. So it, I don't know. It's been interesting with him at LSU, but I don't know. I really do like his ball placement and a lot of the throws he can make. So Nuss, for a pocket passer mostly, he's really good. And then same with Beck. Beck's really been great this year. He's really kind of put himself back in that conversation of like, hey, man, like I'm still pretty damn good. So between those two as our pocket passers, I think it's kind of a toss-up between either two. I like them both.
Okay. Yeah, I'll get it. Nuss Meyer is my number three, so I'll get into him a little bit more when I get to my third guy. But my second guy is Lenore Sellers from South Carolina, and it's just tremendous upside, man. Like, the rushing ability is there. I don't think he's on the level of Lamar and Josh Allen, but I could see him being like Jalen Hurts a little bit. Like, he is a bigger body. And I think he could definitely be, you know, 40-yard kind of guy per game in the NFL level. Passing has gotten better over time, too. Like, yeah, his accuracy sometimes is a little off, you know, ball placement, stuff like that. So I think he's getting better on that. But he's a damn good player, man. Really like his upside, and I think if he comes out, he could be somebody that we could talk about as the number one overall pick too, if it's a team that needs a quarterback. So I have Sellers at two for me.
I totally get that. And then honestly, if we're talking like real NFL player versus fantasy, Sellers could definitely be the number one just because of that, yeah, that fantasy upside that he actually provides. Yep. Safety wise, he's also terrifying. He's terrifying. Because you said consistency with Levitt, man. I see way more consistency issues with Sellers than Levitt.
For sure.
He's all over the place sometimes. But sometimes he's like literally you see the flash of like he's money. So
yeah.
Don't know. Honestly, he's lower down my list mainly because I want him to come back. I do. Mm-hmm. I want him to keep learning this year, play one more year, just keep practicing. Because like you said, he could be the number one pick. And if he really sits down and like works this year and then works next year and just refines it a little bit, like he could go number one. So
yeah, for sure.
I don't know.
Oh, go ahead.
Nope, that's kind of it.
Oh, okay. So my number three was Nussmeier, so I'll get into him before we get into your three. So I agree with you on Nussmeier. The things I've seen on Nussmeier is definitely he's a good manipulator with his eyes. He's, you know, obviously a veteran. He's played, you know, last year quite a bit. He sat behind Jaden Daniels and waited his turn, and then he's playing this year. But he's obviously, you know, his dad's a NFL offensive coordinator for the Saints right now. He doesn't have, like, the elite arm strength, though, that, like, Sellers and Moore have. With Nussmeier, it's more of like a
he's got good arm strength though. It's not bad.
Yeah, it's not bad, but it's passable. Not yeah. Yeah, it's definitely yeah. passable. He doesn't have like the mobility. Like he can run a little bit. When I watch him like throw, like he does like some of those sidearm things, and I've seen this comparison thrown out about him, like Tony Romo. I could definitely see some Tony Romo in him. I see a lot of Jared Goff in him too. So that's kind of where I compared him to, is like I think he's going to be like a Jared Goff type of quarterback. Like he could be the ball distributor if he has the right offensive line around him. He has the weapons around him. Like if you put him on the Tennessee Titans right now, like with Cam Ward, I think Nussmeier is an absolute bust and would probably fail in the NFL. But he's going to need the right situation around him. Like I kind of feel like, what if like the Rams have these two first round picks, and like what if Nussmeier falls to like 8, 9, 10, kind of like where McCarthy went and Penix went and those guys? Like if the Rams moved up from Nussmeier and brought in Nussmeier to either sit a year behind Stafford or just take over next year, like could that be Sean McVay's type guy that could just sit there, distribute the ball and play around like that, like a smart quarterback like that? So I think that would be a good spot for him. If he's definitely coming out because he's a senior. I want to see what he can do in the right offense. But if he goes to a dog shit organization like the Browns or, you know, the Jets or something like that, like he's just going to get cooked, man. But I want to see him land in the right situation.
I agree. I honestly think that Goff comparison is pretty dang good. I feel like he's a very similar type prospect. He needs to have the stability around him, and I think he really could thrive just like Goff did. I think that's a really good comp, or not necessarily comp style play, but comp like he needs that structure like that. So
I think it'll be like maybe his ceiling would be top 15 dynasty quarterback. Like I just don't ever see him getting higher than that though. Unless he gets like, you know, the three top receivers in the league and a really good running back that, like, you know, he just gets there on stats. But
I mean, he's all QB too. And then,
sure. Like, he's just like Jared Goff, like I said.
Or Carr or something like that.
Carr, yeah. Kirk Cousins, something like that, for sure. Go ahead with your number three quarterback.
So, my number three was probably, let's go back. I'm split between Nuss and Beck. Or 2-3, so I could go either way. I'm pretty okay with either one. I like the safety of both of them as quarterbacks versus Sellers. That's why Sellers I had 4. But Yeah, just either one of those two could be 2-3. But then Beck, we kind of talked a little bit about Beck, but I think he's very kind, not very similar, but similar to us. I don't think he's really elevating too much, but I think he's good. So, okay. How about you? You have any thoughts about Beck or Ian?
Yeah, I have Beck just missing my list. I have him probably, he'd probably be at like 6 or 7 for me. Okay. I definitely want to, obviously, he's on a really good team. Big test this weekend against Florida State. Obviously, he's already beat Notre Dame in Florida this year, so he's had two big tests already. So I definitely got to give him props for that. Definitely want to see him on the road this week at Florida State. I think that's going to be a really tough game for him. He could definitely move up into my top five if he just keeps playing it. Obviously, has a good playoffs. Just kind of maybe, I think, last year just kind of gave me a bad taste in my mouth a little bit just because he had Georgia.
I totally get that. I'm trying to let that go.
Right. Yeah. He's got to think about it. Yeah.
I honestly didn't really like him last year or as a prospect. And then this year's kind of turned it around for me. I'm like, man, he's actually playing really well. He's impressive. So
yeah, he's another one that's not Nussmeier style wise, but like his accuracy and ball placement and stuff is pretty good when he's on. So I do like that about him. But that's where I had him.
I'd be worried about him depending on where he goes as well. Same as Nuss. Yeah,
for sure.
I don't really think they're going to elevate a terrible team, but I mean, could he go to the Rams and do fine? I think that he could do the same thing as Nuss. You know what I mean?
True. Yep.
So. Yeah.
My number four I have is Fernando Mendoza for Indiana. And that's kind of like Beck and Nussmeier, kind of the same thing to me. Like, he's probably going to need to have the right situation around him, but I love the ball placement and the accuracy and all that. He can run a little bit too, which is nice. But yeah, his ball placement and accuracy and all that was really, really good. Like, they torched Illinois, put up 63 points on them. Like, I know a lot of that was, run game too, but like him and Elijah Surratt.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know, when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself, talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
And Cooper, the other receiver, too, like they just been really, really damn good this year. And played a tough Iowa defense this week. Iowa always has a really tough defense. They played them last week. And Mendoza, fourth quarter came back and won that game for them with his arm. So definitely Mendoza is somebody who's I heard about in the offseason from Todd McShay and, Mel Kiper and these guys talked about him. And he's been really impressive, man. Like the whole Cignetti offense in Indiana, like they've produced some decent quarterbacks lately. Like Penix came there before he went to Washington. Curtis Rourke last year, who I really, really liked. Like Mendoza reminds me some of Rourke, but like probably a little bit better as a passer and all that. So definitely like what I've seen from Mendoza so far, but definitely want to see him in some more tougher games too against some of the other Big Ten teams.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, I haven't sat down and watched his film, but just from watching part of that Illinois game, like he was making some throws, and they just destroyed them. So
yeah,
that offense is fun to watch. It's fun to watch.
Yeah, for sure. I think he's somebody that I don't know if he's a first round pick yet, but I would probably put him definitely as a round two pick, as somebody could pick.
I could see that. I could see that for sure.
And then you had Sellers at four. Do you have anything more on Sellers?
Not really. I mean, again, we've talked about it a lot. It just that athleticism and whatnot. He's the highest upside out of everyone,
yeah,
for sure. So he can go from 4 to 1 instantly. It's just I kind of have him at 4 because I just don't trust him quite yet, and I don't know what he's going to do. So he's just kind of sitting around there. I trust Beck and Nuss a little bit more as quarterbacks, and then I just have an absolute love for Levitt. So
that's fair.
But Nuss and Beck, I feel like are better quarterbacks, and I feel safer with them. But Sellers easily jumps them, like the moment, like for upside wise. If I'm looking for fantasy, I would take Sellers over Nuss and Beck.
Yeah,
but yeah, he's 4 for me currently.
And then who'd you have at 5?
Another dude I just can't quit. Drew Aller. I do. I know. He's so frustrating, dude, because like he's always been a traits guy. And you see flashes here and there. It's just I hate James Franklin, and I'm so sick of this dude. Like, I feel like he won't let him play football. And even coming back in the game the other night, you see flashes of him throwing the ball, and he's actually decent, but then like they go right back to this turtle mode, and we're gonna just hide, and they're like terrified of letting this guy throw the ball, and like it's almost made him play worse, I think, than he's like coming out of high school. He's gotten like almost worse. It's like, oh my god, it's frustrating. I don't know. I mean, he could literally be a 0, may not get drafted, or an NFL team takes a shot on him and because of the traits, and maybe he does something, because like that he's got an arm, he's not allowed to use it.
Yeah, I mean, it's honestly typical Penn State. Like, can you name the last like successful quarterback that went on to the pros? Like, it's probably Kerry Collins, and that was how long ago, the fucking 90s.
We're gonna need the team to be like what's it called, Vikings did with JJ McCarthy, and just bet on the traits and take a shot.
Well, that's my thing with Drew Aller, who I definitely don't have him in my top 5. I don't even know if I'd have him in my top 10.
I mean, I get it.
Like, he has everything. They have the defense. They have the running backs. Their offensive line's really good. They've had Tyler Warren last year. Their tight ends are always really good. The receivers, I'll give you that. Like, the receivers are because nobody wants to go there to play receiver. But
no. The offense is called, shit. So
and they have so he has all these pieces and he still hasn't done it. His completion percentage is fucking awful. Like, I wrote in the chat the other day, I think he has to come out 2025. Yeah, so I think he has to come out this year. I think he has to come out. I think he's a day 3 pick. I think he goes in like the 4th, 5th, 6th round, somewhere in there. Like, I don't think he's going to be a day 2 pick, or anything like that.
I think he could be like either a high end day 2 pick or like a 7th rounder. I feel like there's probably not a lot in between or something. Like, maybe he's 5th or something. You know what I mean? But like,
yeah, there's a lot of shitty tape there. Like, I see some of the throws and stuff you were talking about too, for sure. Like, it's there, but it's not consistent at all.
No, but he also just looks scared of making mistakes, and I feel like that's in his head, and it just makes him play worse. So it's just
I agree with that for sure.
I just don't know. I don't know. I'm really curious to see what an NFL team thinks of him and if they can fix it, because they'll have some. There's a lot of times where these NFL teams will just grab a guy and be like, "I can fix him. I see all the tools. I saw the flashes. I can fix it." So maybe he'll go 2nd round. Maybe he'll go 5th. I don't know.
But yeah, I agree with that.
At least with him versus some of the other guys too, he's got great size. He's got arm talent. Mm-hmm. So if he gets that shot, maybe he's got a chance. I don't know. But
yeah, we'll see.
We'll see.
I think if you looked at a lot of preseason mock drafts before the season started, like, Drew Aller was maybe the number 1 overall pick to the Browns or whoever. And there, Cade Klubnik was Todd McShay's number 1 overall pick to the Browns. Like, I don't have any of those guys near my top 5. Like, I think they have played so fucking bad that they're just not in my top 5. And like, I think they're both like day 3 picks.
Yeah, I get it.
So yeah, it's funny how things have changed in just a little over a month already. So my number five I have is John Mateer from Oklahoma. Now he's not going to be for everybody, but he is like I said, I don't want a quarterback scout or a helmet scout, but he does remind me of Baker Mayfield. He does have a little Kyler Murray to him too. Like the size wise, definitely remind me of Kyler Murray. He's probably like 5'10", so maybe like an inch taller than Kyler Murray, but like some of the movements and stuff were definitely like Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray for me. Like he's got that dog in him like Baker Mayfield does. And I think he's one of those guys where he just might overcome all that stuff and be pretty decent. So I'm kind of really curious to see when he comes back from this hand injury that he's dealing with right now, how he's going to do. Like they're trying to get him back for that Texas game, that big Red River rivalry game here coming up in a couple weeks. So they're trying to get him back for that. Hopefully he's back for that and we can see him play. But he's another one, like definitely inconsistent with his throwing motions and stuff. Like there's some plays where you're like, wow, this dude's fucking great. And the other plays where you're like, wow, what the fuck are you doing? So he definitely has some of that, like the footwork stuff, but like he's played like that his whole career, Washington State and now at Oklahoma. His offensive coordinator went with him to Oklahoma too, and they got one of the toughest schedules in the country.
I'll say that, so like they have a gauntlet coming up, so
yeah.
Which I really hope he gets back because I wanted to see him through this gauntlet. I think that if he's gonna be something, like he's got the chance. There are so many times where we have guys like this and they play a cupcake schedule, and it's kind of like you go into the draft season, you're like, well, I don't know, like maybe a team likes it. But I mean, dude, he's got good teams he's playing, and if he goes out and beats some of the, like a lot of these guys or all these guys, then it's gonna help his case
for sure. Yeah. Who did you have a different number five than I did?
Yeah, I had Aller.
Oh, you had Aller. That's right. Okay. Yeah.
Mateer, so yeah, I had an honorable mention. So
what I was going to ask if you had any.
Yeah, I had three guys honorable mentions.
Sure.
So, those Mateer was number one, and then Sawyer Robertson.
Yeah, that's another one.
I think he's pretty dang good. I think he might just be a backup though for a while, but I think he could stick around for a while. I think he's fun. And then the last one is Castellanos. So,
yeah, I would love. I'm with you on that one. Like, I would love Castellanos to come in and be like a Kyler Murray. I just think his passing and mechanics and all that needs to be improved. But it wouldn't shock me if he came in and was something. So that's definitely one of my honorable mentions. I had Carson Beck there too. Mm-hmm. And I think the one that could shoot up here by the end of the season and maybe be in the top three of my list is Jaden Maiava from USC.
That's a good one. I forgot to put him in here. Yeah, that's a good one.
Really damn good. Yeah, he's been playing really damn good. I've watched a couple of the SC receivers that are going to be on my list. Mm-hmm. And just watching him play so far this year. And I watched the Michigan State game because that was like a late night game. Yeah, he's looked really impressive this year. And obviously he's got Lincoln Riley with him. I would love for him to stay one more season because I think that he could be a Heisman contender if he stayed another year.
Yeah. So. He has one more year of eligibility? I don't remember.
It says 2025, so I think he has to come out. Yeah.
Does he? Okay.
Yeah, so he has to come out, but he's another one. Like, I think he could sneak up here into the top five.
He's tiny, though. That's the only thing, but he's fun. And, I mean, even if he goes, like, day three, if he ever got a backup job and got a shot, he'd be fun for fantasy because he runs. He's a runner. He'd be like Tyler Huntley out there. He'd be startable. So,
yeah, he's listed as 6'4", 229.
Castellanos?
Oh, no. Oh, I meant Maiava.
Oh, sorry. I forgot we moved on to Maiava. My bad.
Yeah.
No, Maiava's big. Yeah. Yeah. Maiava's
big. Yeah. Castellanos is like Kyler size.
Yeah, he's tiny.
But I would love for Castellanos too. So I agree with you. Let's go over to our running backs though. So who is your number one running back right now?
I think my number one running back is Justice Haynes.
Okay. I like that. Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm super impressed with him so far. He's got good size. He's 5'11", 210. Seems like he could be a three-down back. He's shifty. He runs hard down to down. And if he hits a lane, man, he's gone. Dude is fast. He is fast. And we're going to talk about him in a second, I'm sure. It's Jeremiah Love. I think he's very similar to him in the explosiveness. The only difference, I think, is he's a little bit better down to down than Jeremiah Love. That's why I have him above him. I think he, like, just the normal down to down stuff, I think he's a little bit more physical. He seems to be making yards when nothing really is there, where Love can kind of get hit and go down. He had one good play where in last year's playoffs where he ran through like 10 people and it was incredible, but I don't really see that consistently. But just from seeing the first few games of Haynes finally being unleashed, like I think he's my number one.
Okay. I have him as my number two, so I'm right there with you on Haynes. I'll just talk about him now. I agree with everything you said, man. He's like one of those guys who just gets the yards, even if it looks like it's not like going to be a loss in the backfield. Like, he still ends up getting a yard or two out of it. He's always falling forward, very shifty in the hole. I did notice too, like you were talking about, like that long speed, you like see his size and all that, and you're like, he's going to get caught from behind. I think he gets faster as he gets in the open field and like churns up another gear.
Yeah. He can kick another gear. He's just gone.
Yeah. Like, he's not as fast, like in the hole and all that. Like, it's still really good. But like, when he gets to his speed part, it's like when he gets in the open field and is gone. Like, he's had a couple big runs this year where I'm like, okay, this safety or corner is going to run him down, and nope, he's outrunning them or just a little bit faster than them or same speed or whatever it is. And like, he's really good, for sure. So I have Justice Haynes as my number two running back. My number one, though, is Jeremiah Love, who you did mention. And I think my difference with those, like, I agree with you, like, Jeremiah probably goes down on contact more than Haynes does. I think my thing with Haynes or with Love is the receiving game. Like, he's going to be somebody that could be used out wide, out of the backfield and all that. Like, against Arkansas, he ran, he got put into the slot and ran a corner route and had a really good catch on that play. So he can, you know, he can catch balls over the middle of the field and all that. So I think for, especially for fantasy and the way we view our running backs, I think Jeremiah Love would be my number one, but like, Haynes is right there at number two.
Yeah. 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 I mean, Haynes can catch two, so he's not like a,
zero. Yeah. He's not a zero. Yeah. But I just think Love offers a little bit more there.
I agree. Yeah, I'm honestly, I'm so close between the two. It'd probably go with landing spot.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I really don't hate, like, if you chose Love over Haynes or Haynes over Love. So depending on landing spot and scheme and whatnot with where they land, I mean, that could really make the difference, because I love them both.
Yeah, I don't know if either of them are going to go in the...
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
First round, but I would bet they probably go at like the top of the second round, kind of like where Chubb and Jonathan Taylor went and stuff like that. That's kind of where
I'm curious if they're running. Because if they run and they put up an elite 40 time, they might. They might go in the
first. Yeah, I would think they're both 4-4 guys. I think that's what they look like to me.
If they drop into 4-3s, though, they might go first round.
Yeah, they could for sure. But I don't think it's a lock or anything that they're going to go in the first round. So that's our number one and number two. So we're pretty much on spot there, just different spots. Who's your number three running back?
I think it's Nick Singleton.
Okay, I got the same guy. So
yeah, he's interesting. Like he's super athletic. I definitely want to watch more all 22 on him. Highlights, he's just so explosive.
Yes.
He looks great. He's got good size, 6 foot, 224. But he supposedly has some vision issues. So I really want to see more like on like every down basis and watch that all 22 on him. Again, he's going to come to combine. He's going to blow it up probably because Penn State athletes always do. He's a freak. Yeah. But I'm curious how that vision actually is, how bad it is, because like the highlights are the highs are real, real high. They're really high. I want to see the lows. So curious.
Yeah, he could definitely be like a 4.38, 4.39 guy at the combine at probably 220
plus. At 224.
Well, yeah. That's disgusting. I would say he's one of those guys where some of the film probably isn't great and probably should be down a few spots, but like his speed and size and his pass catching ability,
like he catches too. So
yeah, like I think that stuff is just more important. Kind of like not the same, but like Ollie Gordon last year, like, oh man, like his 2023 was great and then 2024 sucked. Like so far Singleton like hasn't smashed, like even like 2023, like I hate when I look at the box score and like Katron Allen always has more yards than him.
Right.
Like, it's just like, why isn't Singleton just breaking out to me? Like having like these really monster. Yeah. Like why doesn't Singleton have 150 yards a game? Like I think he could, because he came in as a freshman and was, I remember watching his high school tape. I'm like, this dude's the next fucking guy. And he was like that in all our Devy leagues and stuff. But he's had some good games, but he's never been like, whoa, he's that fucking dude ever.
Yeah.
So that's the one part that scares me. But, man, the talent is there. It's oozing. Like, I kind of want to see if he gets into the right situation with, like, a really good offensive line, good RB coach, and all that. Well, like, I think like he could smash.
If he goes to like Chicago or something, it's like, this could be something really cool. So getting behind like a good, fun offensive play caller, that athleticism, like he's hard to ignore, period. Even if he has some sort of vision issues, it's hard to say no to that. So he's got to be my number three.
Okay. Yeah. We're both in lockstep there at number three. How about your number four?
I think it is our guy, the bowling ball himself. Jonah Coleman.
There we go. That's who I had too. So that's four for four.
Hey. Yeah. Jonah Coleman, man. He's fun. He's got good vision. He's a truck fest, dude. That dude is just trucking people. He's stiff arming. He's got good speed, but it doesn't look elite. I think he's probably like a 4.5 guy, but in the NFL, that's fine. It's fine. Yep. He can be a David Montgomery type. You know what I mean? He's not blowing you away with speed, but dude, good luck taking him down. he's not a bad pass catcher, but it's mostly screens and stuff, so which is fine. He's serviceable. Yep. Good contact balance. He's actually got surprisingly quick feet for a big guy. He's got really quick feet and he's got these little jump cuts that are just, dude, he just makes dudes miss. They're whiffing on these tackles. I don't know if they just look at him and he's a bigger dude and they think he's slow and they misjudge him all the time. He's shifty. So
yeah,
I don't know. It's between the shiftiness and then like, if you do catch him, he's just pushing you over. It's like, hard to stop him, man.
Yeah, you've hit it all out of the park with everything I wanted to say. Like the shiftiness, I think the speed, like you said, he's probably like low 4.5s, maybe a high 4.49. But he has great burst. And this is the guy I was talking about earlier that reminded me of Scatabo. Like he's looking for contact, man. He wants to hit contact. He wants to stiff arm you, all that stuff.
He doesn't look for it quite as much as Scatabo. Like,
no,
he will jump cut you. But if he notices, like, okay, he's got the angle, I ain't getting away from it, he will run right into them. He will truck them. He will stiff arm them. But at the same time, like he's also jump cutting him and juking a lot of people too. He's a good mix. He's a good mix.
So watching the highlights back today against Ohio State in the first quarter there, like he had a couple really, really good runs against probably one of the best defenses in the league with, you know, two probably maybe first round pick linebackers at Ohio State and Sonny Styles and Arvell Reese. And he was jump cutting and, you know, doing everything that we've talked about against one of the best defenses. So that really impressed me quite a bit too. So yeah, I'm definitely in on Jonah Coleman.
Same.
All right. How about number five? Can we go 5 for 5 here? Are we going to have the same top five?
Can we go 5 for 5? I think mine is DeMond Claiborne.
Okay. No, I have a different one, but Claiborne's really good too.
We didn't go 5 for 5. So Claiborne's mine. I just really like him. I think he's shifty, he's bursty, he can catch. He's really impressive. I don't know. I really like him.
Yeah, he's you know, he was one of the guys that the draft community, like Jordan Reed and those guys, were pumping up on X in the before the season started. I remember seeing a couple of things on him and like Desmond Reed and stuff too. Like Claiborne, definitely somebody I'm really curious to see what he runs and all that. And he's had some good games this year too, so that's definitely a good call on Claiborne.
Yeah, he's fast. So I'm
curious
how the 40 time is, but like, man, he's quick on the football field at least.
For sure. And then my number 5 is going to be Waymon Jordan at USC. Mm-hmm. He's had a really good season too. He's got that, like they've been calling it the Michael Myers stance where they just stand there that, Ashton Gentry and him kind of do. And he does it the same thing at USC. I love that. But man, he's fast, shifty. I think he's kind of like probably on the same speed level as Jonah Coleman, probably a high, you know, a 4.5, maybe a high 4.48, something like that. But shifty, cutting, all that stuff. Like Waymon Jordan's been doing really, really good at that stuff too. So he's somebody who really caught my eye.
He's a junior, right? You think he's coming out this year?
He's listed 2025 eligibility, so I think he's a senior.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So gotcha. He's definitely somebody that's been on my radar too this year. He's had a great season.
Yeah. He's 5'9", 210, so he's got good size. Mm-hmm. He's running for 7 yards per carry right now. Like he's been great, man. He was on my honorable mentions, so we're not far off.
Okay. Do you have any more of your honorable mentions you want to bring up?
Yes. Sorry, I was looking at Waymon Jordan. Yeah, he's listed as a junior, so he might ESPN and Fantrax. So
he could come back. Yeah,
he could come back. I don't. I mean, he's had such a good year. Maybe he won't, but we'll see. Okay. He does have that eligibility, but other one is Darius Taylor. I know he was your boy. You made me look him up one day and I've been impressed. So he's been hurt a lot. And that's kind of been the thing.
He's
so
hurt this year. Yep.
I don't know. I don't think he has the speed like we talked about one time before, but he's good. So I don't know.
He can catch the ball too. He's a pretty solid pass catcher. But yeah, I agree with you on the speed thing. Like he's probably mid 4.5s at best. Yeah. We'll see if he. I think he's a junior, so he could come back another season there for Minnesota, or maybe be one of these gun for hires. Like if Justice Haynes leave, like maybe he goes to Michigan next year. I could see that.
Mm-hmm.
Couple other guys too that are listed as guys coming out this year. Ahmad Hardy from Missouri. He's been having a fantastic season. Kind of curious about him.
Is he a redshirt sophomore or is he a sophomore?
I'm not sure because on campus to campus he's listed as he's listed as 2024 eligibility. So this would be his last year.
He must be a redshirt.
Yeah. Unless it's unless they have it wrong here on Campus to Canton's website, but which could be possible.
He's listed as a sophomore. All I see is 2 seasons.
Okay, so they might have it wrong then. Okay, so I'm looking at the wrong thing then on that one. Isaac Brown from Louisville. I know he's a senior. He's one that's had a some big plays this year too. You brought up Darius Taylor for sure.
I'm pretty sure Isaac Brown is not. Oh, I think he's a sophomore too.
He's a sophomore too. Okay, so they must have these completely wrong. So I'm just not even.
I'm look pretty at positive he's a sophomore. Let me look. Okay. Yeah, he's a he was a true freshman last year. Yeah, he's a sophomore.
Okay, then they have these.
I'm sorry to keep messing you up, but yeah, he was definitely good. A true freshman last year. He's a sophomore this year.
Okay, so that's probably two guys who aren't going to be in there then. Jamarian Miller, I believe he's eligible, right? Junior.
Who?
Jamarian Miller from Alabama.
Jam Miller, Alabama. I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, he's out. Katron Allen, who we mentioned from Penn State, mm-hmm. he's probably more of like a grinder.
I think they're both similar.
Yeah, Jadarian Price, the other Notre Dame running back. I could see – what's up?
He was my last honorable mention was Price.
Oh, okay. Oh, Price, okay. Yeah,
Jadarian Price. He was my last one. I get sure. to him. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't think he would come out this year. I definitely want to see him stay another year, but CJ Baxter was always a really, highly touted prospect, and then he had the knee injury last year. Probably want to see him stay another season, probably with Arch next year, but he's a possibility that could come out.
Yeah, I don't think he would because he's done nothing really.
Yeah, he hasn't really done much yet, but
he's been hurt constantly, so. He's hurt again this year, so I really doubt he would have any pull.
Yeah, I agree. All right, let's kick it over to wide receivers here. So who do you have as your number one wide receiver in the class right now?
I think my number one is Jordan Tyson.
Okay, yeah, we're on lockstep on that one, so I agree.
He's a favorite of everybody's, but I think he's mine too. He's really good at getting downfield. He does create a lot of separation, but that homie also is not afraid to go up and get it. He will go up. He will moss some dudes. I mean, and it's not like he can't create separation, but like if the ball, there's been times the ball's been a little underthrown or just for whatever reason, like the play call, and he's jumping. But yeah, dude, that dude's explosive. He's great with the ball in his hands. He's hard to take down. I was really impressed watching him.
Yeah, same thing with Juan Tyson. Like he definitely can create separation. Great route runner. I really liked his routes that he ran. Great mm-hmm. hands, like you talked about. He'll go up and moss people too. And he's consistently been like a lot of people's number one wide receiver coming into this class. And he hasn't disappointed at all this year. So I wish he would have been healthy during last year's run when they had Scadabo and all that. Like I think. They could have probably beat Texas. Like, you know, that could have been the big upset from last year's playoffs. But excited to see him just keep producing because he keeps doing it every single week. And that's definitely what you want to see. I think he has the ability to be the number one wide receiver off the board and maybe a top 10 draft pick this year.
Mm-hmm. For sure. For sure.
Who do you have as your number two receiver?
My number two is Mekhi Lemon.
Okay, we're two for two again.
Nice. Hey, look at that. dude, he's a really good route runner.
Yeah.
He has a really good feel of when to slow down and settle in for a zone. Like, there's times where I've watched him and he's running across and he just knows spacing really well. He slows down, he'll stop completely and just settle down. He's really good. I was watching I think it was past week's game, the broadcasters brought up that they compared him to JSN, and I was like, yeah, I can see that. I was like, he's just like this smooth route runner, he's just slick. Yeah, I thought that was a good comparison, and he's not afraid to go up and get it over the middle.
Yeah, so, I didn't think about that, but that's a really good comparison, and I'm probably gonna steal that. So,
yeah, I didn't either. And they said it on the broadcast, and I'm like, you know what, they're not wrong.
Yeah, yeah, I think
similar-ish build. He runs he's a lot of good at the same routes. I don't know. He was okay downfield, but like he's not really a burner downfield. Like he can do it, but dude, short or medium, he's killing you.
Yeah, he's not like the bigger receivers. He's probably what 5'10",
5'11", 5'11", 195 is what he's listed.
Yeah, so it's not like he plays small or anything like that, but he's not gonna like, you know, he's not like a 6'3 guy, but yeah, his route running and all that, like the spacing you talked about, man, he's gonna be some quarterback's best friend for sure. Yeah, next year. He's really damn good. So yeah, we're 2 for 2 on that. Can we go 3 for 3? Who's your number 3?
Carnell Tate.
There we go. 3
there
for 3.
There we go. Those Ohio State boys, man, we can't quit them, man. They're just good. He seems to be pretty good at everything. I just don't think he's elite at anything. I just think he's a well-rounded wide receiver. Doesn't seem like a burner, but has good speed. He's hard to take down. He's a good vision with ball in his hands. He's a very solid wide receiver, which is basically what Ohio State does just in general too. Yeah. I mean, we do have the elite end side of it, but also, man, they just create good wide receivers. So he seems just to be like another one, just technically sound. There wasn't a lot of stuff I had to hate on him besides maybe not the best speed, but I mean, it's not he's slow. He's fast out there, but
I think he's not like elite at anything. Like you said, it's kind of like reminds me of Ibuka. Like he just does everything well, but it's not like elite. But like we're seeing Ibuka doing it right now on the NFL level and killing it. So like that definitely, and plus all the other Ohio State receivers that have come along, that gave me the confidence to put Tate at 3. I think Lemon and Tyson are definitely like better route runners and all that. But I think Tate's still going to be probably, you know, a back end first round pick in the draft next year, and probably goes to a really good team who's picking at the end and does really well for them. So yeah, Carnell Tate for me, number 3. I agree with that.
Yeah. I don't think he's as good of a route runner as Ibuka.
No, I don't think so. He's close. Sure.
Is he listed at 6'3"? He doesn't look 6'3".
No, he's more like a lengthy kind of guy. Like
ESPN has him listed at 6'3". I'm like, I don't think that dude's 6'3".
Yeah, that's probably exaggeration, because you know how they give you a couple extra inches of height and weight.
Yeah, Wikipedia. So he might come way in or measure in at like 6'1", 6'2", maybe.
Yeah, that's kind of what he thinks. I think he is, but not like terrible or anything. Like I think he's going to be a really solid NFL receiver.
Right. For sure.
All right. Who do you have at number 4?
Number 4. Let me count. Number 4. Denzel Boston.
Okay.
I think I had a number 4. He's 6'4", 209. He seems very athletic. I think Campus Canton had him pretty good in their what's it called? Athletic measurables and whatnot. So you can see it on tape. He is athletic. He's one of the ones that I really want to see the all 22 for. These 6'4 wide receivers, they can have really cool highlights. They can burn people, but I get scared. I've been burned too many times. I really want to watch some all 22 at the end of the year versus just like highlights and games and whatnot. So I'm really curious to take a deep dive on him, but
yeah,
just from highlights and stuff, man, he looks athletic and he's a big boy, and we don't have a lot of big boys like him in this wide receiver class. So
no, not at all.
So he might have mentioned just from that alone.
Yeah. He's on my honorable mentions, probably like my 6th on this one. So he's right there too. Really good player. Yeah, definitely want to see some more on him, because that's one of the guys, like, they just play at 10 o'clock our time, and I don't get to watch them all the time. So, he's probably on my honorable mentions. But my number 4, who's had a really damn good season, is Jeremy Bernard for Alabama. And he's probably more of a slot guy than he's going to be, like, an outside. But, man, he's just had a tremendous year. I think his route running's been pretty solid. He create separation, solid hands. He's made ton of big plays for Alabama this year. So I've been excited to see some more of him. Like, I don't think he's as good as, that's why he's number 4, as good as Tate and Lemon and Tyson and those guys. But I think he could get in the right situation and be a really good slot receiver in the NFL. But he's probably just going to have to stick in the slot.
Gotcha. So I've been a known Jeremy Bernard hater. And Mike told me to rewatch him this year at the end of the year. And he's telling me he's actually doing real stuff. But like past few years, Jeremy Bernard has been like, especially Washington, even early Alabama, the first years, he's a gadgety player. But Mike said he's running real routes this year and he's doing real stuff. So maybe I'll change my opinion and actually watch some more. But like first few years, I was not impressed. I'm like, this dude is, I mean, he gets yards and whatnot, but it's a lot of gimmicky stuff. And he's also benefited from being on a team with an alpha wide receiver. He's got Ryan Williams now. He had what's called Odunze and Polk and then Jalen McMillan.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I've just never really been impressed with him. But again, I have not watched him this year. So I'm reserving my opinion until the end of the year until I actually sit down and watch him. But I've kind of blown him off because of what I've seen previously. So
Definitely a guy you should watch too. Because I think he's he's definitely not doing like they're doing like some gimmick stuff like end arounds and stuff with him, like at the goal line and shit, but he's definitely running some real routes and stuff this year. So go ahead with your number five receiver.
So I really didn't have a fifth one that I really liked that I thought would get decent draft capital or anything. It's not a great wide receiver class in my opinion. So I really didn't have a fifth one. I have like a few honorable mentions. Jeremy Bernard was one of them. And then my next one is, again, these are just honorable mentions. It's Chris Brazel from Tennessee. He's 6'5", 200 pounds. He's a Tennessee wide receiver, so I don't know if I actually can trust him, but he's having a good year this year. He's breaking out and balling. He had a great game versus Georgia, so we'll see. There's him, and then I'm just going to go through my honorable mentions, I guess, since I don't have a fifth. And then the other one's Eric Singleton. I think he's a junior, but he's very, very athletic, speedy guy. He's been okay this year so far. Not like dominating, but I don't know. There's a lot of good wide receivers in that Auburn room. So he's been good, but maybe if he comes out, runs real fast, we'll see.
He's supposed to be like a 4.2 guy, low 4.3.
Yeah. And then the last one's the honorable mention is Harrison Wallace from Ole Miss.
He's
been balling out this year, so we'll see. I don't know. Ole Miss wide receivers are also hit or miss. And burned the last few years, so maybe. I don't know. But he's put up some good stuff so far. So.
Yeah, my number five I put was Brazel from Tennessee, and I had the same reservations. It's another fucking Tennessee receiver. It's another Jalin Hyatt. It's another Dante Thornton. Like, yeah, he's hitting these big plays downfield and stuff, but he's got the separation. I want to see, you know, some more route running. He's definitely one of the guys I want to see you do some cut-ups of and see if I like him even more than kind of what I've seen so far. But I wanted to at least put him on this list as somebody who's having a really good season and somebody that could, be somebody at the NFL level.
Right.
Honorable mentions, you mentioned a couple guys like Singleton for sure. I had Denzel Boston on there. Jacoby Lane, the other USC receiver. He's one on there. Deion Burks from Oklahoma with Mateer. He's a senior, so this is his final year. Could Zach Branch come out from Georgia? I don't know. I think he probably needs to stay another year.
I still don't know if you're a real wide receiver. That's the problem.
Yeah. He's kind of like a gadgety type guy. Concepcion for Texas A&M. And then the last Elijah Surratt I really like too for Indiana.
Is Varian Brown coming out this year? I don't remember.
I think
done a ton as well. He's kind of like a branch, but like those guys are just burners. So I don't know.
Yeah, he's been he was a Debbie darling, but he's never had that like big breakout, and now he's at LSU and he's kind of just lost in the shuffle. So yeah, he's probably like a day three pick to me, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Any other receivers that we need to mention before we move on? Antonio Williams too from Clemson. That's another one, but we just haven't seen him much from him because of the injury this year.
True. Yeah, can't forget about him though. But yeah. Not really.
Okay. Not really. All right, let's finish it off with our top three tight ends. I know the tight end position isn't really very sexy, but want to at least give our top three tight ends so far. I would probably guess our top two are the same and maybe our third's different, but who's your first tight end?
So don't hate me. I really didn't pull up too many, like, any tight ends, really.
Okay. I mean, I can give you mine if you want.
You can go with yours. I really hate tight end coming out. You know what I mean? Right. I haven't seen anybody that's blown me away yet. So I'm going to just my stance is going to be just like normal. Wait for combine, and whoever is athletic and blows us away, then that's my dude.
But, right. Wait for the NFL to tell you. That's a good strategy.
That's basically it. I mean, there's guys that have come out that are just not athletic, and I really don't care too much about you normally. So there are a position where that 40 time actually does matter to me. Like, I really, really care what you do in your 40 for these, because we have a lot more data of them actually hitting. So,
like some of them, like, especially Harold Fannin for the Browns, like he ran like the 4.7, and I'm like, it kind of made me sour on him a little bit, but he's been pretty solid. So
he didn't run well, but like that dude was just different in college. Like, you could see it on film. He had 1500 yards as a tight end. Like,
something crazy.
That doesn't happen. Like, to put in reference, I think, was it Kyle Pitts had like 700 or 800? Like, granted, yes, he was playing against lower competition, but like, he's almost lapping those dudes. Like, Pitts, Bowers, all of them. Like,
I think Tyler Warren had a crazy season last year receiving, but I mean, like, Fannin was head and shoulders above.
Yeah, what was Warren's?
I want to say he was 1,000. I think I'm pretty sure he caught over 100 catches.
Did he?
Yeah. I mean, you could look it up, but I'm pretty sure. Yeah. So, I'll go ahead. My first one is Kenyon Sadiq for Oregon, and he's kind of been everyone's consensus number one tight end in this class. And he was a big factor and a big guy for Dante Moore this past week against Penn State. Like, he just made catch after catch after key catch for them down the stretch there. Like, he was just such a big part. I don't think he is on the level of these tight ends we've seen lately of Tyler Warren and Brock Bowers and those guys, but I think he can be like, you know, a Sam Laporta type, like, just, you know, a guy that can just get open for you, be a good safety blanket type of tight end. So he can definitely be somebody who's successful in the NFL. I just don't think he's ever going to be like the elite of the elite.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get to watch Sadiq at all in the Penn State game last week or no?
Just a little bit in the game. I wasn't really focused on him, himself. Okay. Yeah. I'm looking up the top tight ends right now. Michael Trigg is having a resurgence again. Mike and I were laughing about that. Like, we thought that dude was dead, but here he comes back. So.
Yeah. I'm waiting for Eric Gilbert to come flying back. my number two tight end I have is Eli Stowers for Vanderbilt. And that's been, you know, Diego Pavia. His top guy the last 2 years, really athletic tight end. Can definitely go get it. I think he's like maybe a step below Sadiq on the athleticism. But Eli Stowers is going to be somebody that you can count on. He's kind of like a Evan Ingram type for me. So he's going to be a really good receiving tight end at the NFL level. And I think he's been pretty much the number two or three tight end on a lot of people's lists this year. So Eli Stowers from Vanderbilt is my number two.
Love that.
And then I'll just give my number three. My number three is Max Clare for Ohio State. He came over from Purdue this past season, really athletic. The only thing with Ohio State is they literally have like five tight ends that they're using right now. So I don't get to see Claire as much, but I'm hoping like now we're getting into Big Ten play and the games are going to be closer and all that stuff. Like Max Claire is going to be somebody that steps up for them. Like when they're focused on Jeremiah Smith and they're focused on Carnell Tate, I'm hoping Claire can be that third option for them and attack the middle of the field and be somebody really, really good for them. So Max Claire, I put him on probably the same athletic level as Eli Stowers as well for me, like when I watched them on film. But I think he's going to be another a solid tight end too.
Sweet. I'll have
to keep my eye on him. My honorable mention was Justin Jolly for NC State. Kind of similar to those guys, like bigger body, athletic, can make some nice plays too. So I like Justin Jolly too.
Love it.
Yeah, there's some decent tight ends that could come out this year, like Delp, Jack Velling. I just don't know if they're ever going to be like elite guys. Daquan Wright for Ole Miss has had a really good season. We've talked about it too. The Oklahoma tight end, Jared.
He's been killing it.
Yeah, he's been doing really good. He kind of reminds me of.
He's just small, though. That's what I'm worried about.
Yeah, he's small. Yeah. He kind of reminds me of like how Gunnar Helm came out of like nowhere last year. kind of the same thing. Texas has another tight end, Jack Endries, this year too. So yeah, there's some okay tight ends in this class. I don't think it's like a complete zero, but I don't think there's any like, oh man, I got to draft this guy in the first round of my rookie drafts. Maybe Sadiq,
not at all. Yeah.
But yeah, maybe Sadiq, but that's about it.
Yeah. Royer's been good for Cincinnati too.
Royer's another one. Yep, he's been solid. It's just so hard with tight end.
Yeah, we don't have any like dominator this year. It's really just going to be about athleticism at this point for me.
Yeah,
I'm going to wait, see who runs, see who's a freak, and that's who I'm going to be targeting. Period.
So. Yeah, we got a couple of tight ends coming in the 2027 class. Like Trey Des Green for LSU is a fucking monster. Luke Reynolds for Penn State. So yeah, there's a couple guys coming down the pipeline.
Yeah.
You got any more on the tight ends?
Not at all. I'm sorry. I really didn't.
No, you're good.
Didn't investigate too much on these tight ends. I just don't care about them.
Yeah, no, you're good.
Unless we got a Warren or what's it called? Who's the other one that came out this year?
Oh, Colt Loveland.
Yeah. Unless we get like guys like that, then those two dudes I'm paying attention to. But yeah, we don't really seem to have that this year. So whoever runs fast, I'll be interested in.
Yeah. I mean, we had a couple of these, you know, second round, third round tight ends, Terrence Ferguson, who hasn't done fuck all, Elijah Arroyo, everybody was pumping up. He hasn't really done much. So like, it's probably a bunch of like of these type tight ends again, to be honest with you. So.
Right. And tight ends is such a, if it's not like the super freaks or whatever, then it's not uncommon for those guys to take a year or two. Like in the day, it took a while for them.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see.
All right. Well, that is going to wrap it up for who we like so far in this class. Kind of think quarterbacks are okay. I think maybe two or three in the first round. Running backs, I don't know if we get any first round running backs, but I think we get a couple of nice guys in round two and three. Probably the rest are going to be day three guys like usual. Wide receivers, definitely not a deep class, but they have some guys that we're going to want with our first round picks in the back ends, the Mekhi Lemons, Jordan Tysons and stuff like that. Carnell Tates. I think those guys are gonna be solid pros, and you have one or two tight ends. So it's, like I said, it's not an elite class. 2026 first, I'm definitely still interested in, but my seconds, thirds, fourths, fifths, I can definitely trade those. Like I'm okay trading with them. You kind of feel the same?
Yes and no, because all right, so I think it's a very top heavy class, but I think they're going to be gems in this class, and it's because it's so wide open right now. Kind of, I feel like there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be like, oh, this class sucks, and just bail, and then they're not going to investigate. So if you actually take the time, I think you could probably hit on some of these second and third round picks that you currently have. You know what I mean? Because it's because of the not so much like, oh, these are the guys. You know what I mean? Because it's so wide open, I think it's going to be a lot more of us scouting and trying to find the gems this year. And if you're actually diligent in that, I think those picks might actually be decent. So,
okay. Well, that's a good, good advertisement to make sure you guys sign up for the Patreon. Go to patreon.com/Sal Harmon. Dan usually runs, we usually do them on Wednesday or Thursday nights, whenever Dan has time, and he'll run through the film for us in the Discord. He'll pop it up on his computer and we all get in the chat room and watch film together, talk about them as we're watching them. And they're really good cut ups and everything. So definitely worth the admission to come join us on Discord with us during the off season when Dan does those, for sure.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. We all just kind of hang out and watch the clips together. So it works out great. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. For sure. All right, let's do America's favorite game, and then we'll get on out of here. So, Dan, who, since the listeners are newer to you, you haven't been on the airwaves too long, tell us who's your favorite NFL team and your favorite college team, and maybe why you root for those teams.
So my favorite NFL team is the Giants. I grew up in upstate New York. I kind of grew up near Bills country, but I was never a Bills fan. I gravitated towards the Giants and then locked in when I was a young age and been a fan ever since. Okay. So I've been a Giants fan. College, OSU, baby. It's funny because like I grew up in upstate Western New York, and it's not really a college football place. It's mostly college basketball. So yeah, we have Syracuse, and Syracuse kind of runs college basketball for our area. I was big into Cuse basketball growing up as a kid. But we didn't have any good college football teams. Like we had Buffalo and Syracuse, and both weren't football schools really. So it was like, I didn't really care about college football until I moved to Cleveland. And then I love football so much. I love college, but like I never really had a team. So once I moved to Ohio, I just locked in Ohio State. It was just over. I'm like, that's it. Yeah.
I think that's fair.
Yep.
Yeah. Syracuse, you had to kind of be around in the late 90s when they had Marvin Harrison and McNabb.
Yeah, Kevin tiny Johnson. Bit before my time.
Yeah.
I was little.
They were really good then. And then like the early 2000s, they had Dwight Freeney on that fast track when they had the old carpet there, and like fucking Dwight Freeney was a monster. But yeah, they hadn't really been super successful in football up until, I mean, the last couple of years they've been fun. Like McCord was fun last year with them and all that. So. But
Giants, even when the football team every now and then was decent, they were still a basketball school.
Oh, yeah. When they had like Carmelo Anthony.
And yeah, we had Carmelo, and it was just every year after that. And Boeheim has always been a good coach. So they've been a basketball school, and their basketball headlines kind of ruled our area.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah, for sure. And then, yeah, Giants, like, never been, always been like my hated rival, like when I was a kid. And, Eagles fan, like I hated the Giants because the Giants and the Eagles were like the only good teams. Like Washington was always dog shit, and Dallas, like, you know, they've been okay, but they've been mostly dog shit for throughout those years, like the Quincy Carter years and stuff. And like it was always Eagles and Giants kind of going at it there in like the early 2000s. And I hated Jeremy Shockey with a fucking passion. I couldn't stand that motherfucker. I still hate him. So like the Giants have always been like on my shit list, like right next to the Steelers of like teams that I just can't stand.
See, it's funny because I grew up in Western New York, but wasn't a Bills fan, but I still hate the Patriots. I hate everything Boston.
Okay, that's so fair.
It's just their enemy number one.
And then like that's weird too because like I like the Indians, you know, as a baseball team, but like I like the Red Sox there too for a bit because I hated the Yankees. But the Red Sox had a bunch of like guys that I liked. Like I loved Manny when he was with the Indians, obviously. Mm-hmm. How could you not like Ortiz? I loved Pedro Martinez and just the way that he pitched. Like he was just so fucking good.
Right.
So like that. So they had a bunch of good guys too, but. No, it's good to find out, let the listeners know some of the players and teams that you liked. So,
yeah, that's always fun.
Yeah. But, yeah, make sure you guys check out Dan's podcast right here on the same podcast feed, Fantasy Pipeline. That comes out every week for you guys, talking about some of these college prospects. So it's a good way to kind of keep up with who's going to be important for us not only in your C2C leagues, if you're in any C2C leagues, but just for the NFL draft. And, you know, when we get back to it in April and kind of keep up on these names, and so they're not completely foreign to you when it comes February or March, and you're like, who the fuck is Jordan Tyson? You know, now you've heard about him on our podcast.
Right. Yeah. Facts. And if any of your listeners on, I know you're mostly NFL podcast, but if any of you guys are on here and you've never heard of Campus to Canton style leagues, what we basically do is we play an NFL team and a college team, and eventually your college team moves up to your NFL team. So it's kind of like Devy, but you actually get to play the team. So it's fun. So, and then we're big proponents of best ball around here. So we play best ball both sides, and it's a blast. And it really helped me too with my Devy guy, or with my Devy prospects. So it's like watching them from their start to the finish, you really kind of start knowing what these guys are about versus just starting to becoming familiar with them like a month before they're drafted. So it's helped me as well.
Yeah, it's helped me as well too. Like, I'm getting used to these guys and their names, and just seeing how they play and how they've progressed throughout their college career. Yeah, it's really good. It's not for everybody. Like, it's a lot to do. Like, you're doing like a 60-round, 50-round, you know, campus to camp or a college draft, and you probably by like round 5 or 6 you're like, who the hell is this guy, who's this guy? Like, you know, you're gonna have to draft a quarterback of fucking Navy and Air Force, and you're like, these guys have no chance of ever being anything in the NFL, but like, they help you win on the college side because they do put up these crazy stats. So it's like a little bit of a love and hate relationship.
it's definitely, it sounds overwhelming. I relied, especially when I first started, a lot on the Campus to Canton guys. They're fantastic. Their website, their rankings, all that stuff, the draft tool. But once you start getting in season, like, yes, there's a lot more players, but then you start breaking it down. It's like, it's the same thing. It's the same fantasy. You can go into fan tracks. You can sort it by points. You can see who's scoring a lot of points this week. It's pretty easy to start figuring out, okay, well, this guy's points, so let me pick him up maybe, or sort it by like maybe my team's terrible because, you know, I just started, so I'm just gonna look at freshmen. That's literally all I'm gonna care about, and see who my freshmen are or how they're doing. And every week all I'm looking at is freshmen. So you know what I mean? Like, you, depending on how you want to play, once you get in season, it's really not too bad, and then you can just kind of go from there. But it's a whole lot of fun watching on Saturdays when these guys that we were talking about as prospects, they're scoring you actual points as well. So that makes that a whole lot of fun. So,
for sure.
Yeah.
What's your social so everybody can kind of follow you?
It's on X. It's draft_prospects.
Okay.
And that's really about it that I use for social media now.
And then do you give away your YouTube, like your highlight one, or no?
So I really haven't been cutting up anything anymore. I kind of retired. I've been doing the podcasting thing and just playing and whatnot. But I really haven't been. It was very time consuming. So I've retired for right now.
Okay, that's fair. I didn't know that. So
yeah,
but he used to put clips up on YouTube and stuff. So
I used to do a lot of the cut ups for the guys, and it's fun. But it just got to you a lot of work. I got 2 little girls at home now. I got a 2-year-old and then a 4-month-old. And since the 2-year-old was born, it was like, I just don't have the time anymore.
Yeah, I have the time. So. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. That's fair. Yeah. All right, man. Well, I appreciate you jumping on. We'll definitely have you on more talk some more college football towards the end of the season, maybe around playoff time, and definitely around draft time. I'll have you on again for sure.
Cool. Thank you so much for having me, man.
Yeah, appreciate it. Appreciate you hopping on. Make sure you guys check out the Fantasy Pipeline on this podcast feed as well. So with that, we're going to end the episode here. I'm at Eric Vanek NFL on X and at America's Game Pod as well. So we'll be back with you guys next week for episode 115. We'll see you later.